He's speaking of the characteristics of infants that are totally dependent, totally trust. There's no question. Baby doesn't question you, just trust you. We see in Matthew 18, truly, truly, verse 13, unless you become converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we'll consider again what it takes to find rest for our souls. And as we'll see, it requires something that most of us don't really want to do.
You know, Dave, when Jesus talks about salvation, he frequently uses the analogy of a child. Having childlike faith is what we must do if we are to obtain true salvation. But how is that kind of faith brought forth? How do we become like children? Well, that's what we're going to be considering today. So if you have a Bible handy, turn to Matthew chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 20 through 30.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Verse 23, back in our passage in chapter 11. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You shall descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Very serious. This is an amazing statement. He's saying, if the wicked Sodomites, the city that God destroyed with fire and brimstone, delivered Lot and his daughters, his wife turning back to pillar of salt, he poured out fire and brimstone upon them for their evil wickedness as an example for those in the future. We see that in 2 Peter. They would have repented. But notice, because of the great spiritual pride of Capernaum, they rejected Christ. They thought they were going to heaven. And Capernaum, wilt not be exalted to heaven, will you? You think you're going to heaven? You shall descend to Hades. You're going to Hades. You're going to be judged because you rejected Jesus. We see in Luke chapter 16 that Hades is a place of temporal torment. We see the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was being comforted in Abraham's bosom when he died. The rich man, he went into the grave and was buried, and yet he opened his eyes in torment, Luke chapter 16, and he cried out to Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, child, remember during your life, this is Luke 16:25, that you received the good things, and likewise Lazarus the bad things, but now he's being comforted here, and you're in agony. And besides all this, between us, there is a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over here from you may not be able, and that none may cross over from here to there. And he said, then I beg you, Father Abraham, send them to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he might warn them lest they come to this place of torment. I think about this when you see these stars who die. They lived their lives, and they lived it, they gained the whole world, and there's no declaration of faith in Christ. Yeah, if they leave the last minute, praise the Lord, we hope that's the case. But I think if they're in Hades, they're in agony. And they've been there ever since they died. And they're on their way, waiting judgment. And they may be saying the same thing. Send so-and-so to tell them. But notice how he's responded to. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Hey, they got the word of God. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will. Notice what he says. He's in Hades. They will repent. You see, he knows what they need to do. But he said to him, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Capernaum thought they were going to go to heaven. They're going to Hades. Great spiritual pride because they rejected Jesus Christ. You know, so often these days, there's so little of a warning involved in the gospel. There's so little of a warning concerning repentance and the need to be saved. You know, if you don't know what you're being saved from, you're not being saved. We're sinners, and we need a Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are many people in this churches that are a desert wilderness. They think they're saved. They're like Capernaum. They think they're saved, but they're on their way to Hades and judgment and hell. What about you? What would Jesus say to you today? Would he say, "Woe to you, so-and-so"? If those in Sodom have heard what you've heard today, they would have repented. What would he say to you? So-and-so, will you not be exalted to heaven, will you? You shall descend to Hades. But I proclaim to you repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ bore our sins. If you trust in him, you will be saved. So then we got to take the warning. We've got to heed the warning. You want rest for your soul? Heed the warning. Return to Jesus. And realize at this point that salvation is not something that you do. It is something that God does. It is a work of God. Notice this interesting statement here. Verse 25, then at this time Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Very interesting statement here. Speaking of God's complete sovereignty over salvation. Don't be deceived. Salvation does not come from man. It comes from God. God is the one who saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It's God who saves. And it doesn't originate in the will of man, but God beckons the will of man. But it doesn't originate in the will of man. It originates in the will of God. So he publicly praises the Father for hiding revelation from the prideful and revealing it to the humble. At this time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father. This is in the middle. He's giving these condemnations. Right in the middle, he goes into a praise. He said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. Here we have a verbal confession of agreement. I praise, ex homologia, an outward confession, a profession, acknowledgement of agreement. I agree, O Father, I praise you in agreement. Now, what is this outward profession agreement about? What's the context here? Well, we have a parallel passage in Luke that helps us see this a little bit. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, it's very interesting. He says, at this very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. That's pretty interesting. He's rejoicing. He's condemning the cities that saw the most miracles. And then he rejoices greatly in the Holy Spirit at this time. Luke 10:21. And said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou dost hide these things from the wise and intelligent, dost reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it is well-pleasing in thy sight. He rejoiced. Well, what's he so joyful about? Two things. That the Father hid revelation from the prideful and intelligent, and then he revealed it to the babes. This helps us understand where our hearts need to be to come to Jesus. You need to humble yourself. If you think you got it all figured out, I cringe at these books that say the whole process of how I figured out that Jesus was God, and I did it all, and I got there, and I got saved. Yes, they finally got the gospel, and maybe they believed it and got saved. I praise the Lord for that, but the rest is junk. It's not the wise and intelligent that come to faith in Jesus. It's the babes. Now here we gain insight into one thing that pleases God and brings joy to him. Keeping his saving truth from those who are self-sufficient and focused on self, and revealing it to those whom he calls babes. The wise and intelligent are wise and intelligent in their own eyes. They're spiritually prideful. Proverbs 30, verse 12, there's a kind who is pure in his own eyes, but is not washed from his filthiness. The babes here are literally like infants. That's the word he uses. I think he's speaking of the characteristics of infants that are totally dependent, totally trust. There's no question. Baby doesn't question you, just trust you, right? We see in Matthew 18, the Lord Jesus shares, truly, truly, verse 13, unless you become converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom. There needs to be a humbling. There needs to be a recognition of your spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So let me ask you this. Have you ever humbled yourself for a living God that you don't know anything and he knows everything? that everything he says is true and everything you think apart from him is wrong? Have you ever humbly come to him like a child in total need, asking for salvation? We see that's what God is pleased in and rejoices in. He rejoices in that. He rejoices in saving people, by the way. Even the angels of heaven rejoice when one soul is saved, right? Now notice back in our passage, verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. I think he's cutting off their belief that they knew the Father without knowing him. He'll share that later on in the book of John. Hey, you can't come to me. You can't come to him apart from me. We know that no one comes to the Father apart from Jesus, right? And here we see that he is given all authority and power. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Matthew 28, we see that Jesus came up and spoke, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He's God, the Son, all authority. And why he has an all authority? Because no one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does the Father anyone know the Father except the Son, and to anyone whom the Son wills to reveal. That's an interesting statement. It's only through Jesus Christ that you can know God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No man has seen God any time. John 1:18, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. He, speaking of Jesus, has explained him. And here we see it as God's choice. And we go, choice, yay. But that word election, no. Well, sadly, we have theological groups that take certain pieces without other pieces, and they make that one piece the underpinning of everything and thus distort everything else. Yes, as we're going to see, election is true, but so is human responsibility. And how does it work together? I don't know. We see in Ephesians chapter 1, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in him in love. 1 Peter chapter 1, that he talks about those who reside as aliens scattered who are chosen. Lectos. John 6:64, but there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, did not believe, and who it was to betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I say to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing, glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And we go, oh, yeah, okay. Now, this strikes at our pride, Romans chapter 9. But God is the one who chooses. But yet within that, God also makes it clear that the offer is available to all. And that he takes no pleasure to the death of the wicked. How does that work? How does that work? Ezekiel chapter 18. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather that he should turn from his way and live? He takes pleasure in hiding his truth, but he doesn't take pleasure that they're dying. He'd rather they would humble themselves, repent, and believe. Ezekiel 18:31, cast away from you all your transgression which you've committed, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares our Lord. Therefore, repent and live. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, I warn you not to make any doctrine the underpinning of all the rest of the doctrines. Let God's truth explain itself. Lay it out there. How do I understand these things working together? I don't. I'm not God, but I believe them. And the interesting thing about this is everywhere you see God's choice, right next door, you see a free offer. And that's what we're going to see here. He talks about it, and then he says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. The free choice, the free offer to all. Quite amazing. You have Romans 9, God's sovereignty and salvation. Romans 10, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You have here this passage, and then you have this offer. Look at this offer here, verse 28, the free offer. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The implication in that invitation is you're going to have to acknowledge and humble yourself that you are weary and heavy laden. You're going to have to realize you need rest. You're going to need to be humbled. You need to come like a child. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my load is light. And this is a tremendous verse. If you want your sins obliterated, then I encourage you to take up the Lord Jesus on this offer. Notice what he says. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who's he inviting? All who are weary and heavy laden. The term weary speaks of great physical toil, strong exertions, hard labor. It carries the idea of becoming weary. It can speak of emotional weariness, that weariness that accompanies great difficulty. It speaks of those who are continually, habitually weary. Folks, sin is wearying. Whether it's the weariness of seeking one's own desire religiously or irreligiously, it's wearying. If you sin, it's going to wear you down. And then notice he has in this invitation the phrase heavy laden. It speaks of carrying heavy burdens. And it's in a tense that speaks of something already completed. You've taken those burdens on you and they're on you. You've made a choice, and I believe religiously, to weigh yourself down. We see very clearly other spots in the New Testament that this false religious system the Jews had brought forth was weighing down those who believed it. We see very clearly in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says in verse 46, "But woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh down men with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves are not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers, not one." In Matthew 23, Jesus then spoke to the multitudes and his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with such a finger." Matthew 9:36, "And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord Jesus says, in the midst of this great condemnation of those who had rejected him, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." And then it's emphatic in the Greek, "And I emphatically will give you rest." Jesus gives you rest for your souls. It is Jesus Christ who died for your sins and rose from the dead. When you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, he personally gives you rest because his work is applied to you through faith and you are forgiven. Your sins obliterated. You're forgiven. He gives you rest. Rest speaks of a cessation of effort and thus refreshment. We see that the physical picture of Israel going into the land was a physical picture of rest, which was a spiritual picture of what we have in Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, salvation rest. So then, calling upon those weary in sin and heavy laden. Maybe you're weary in sin. Maybe you're in some type of a religious bondage, Catholicism, Mormonism, you know, denominationalism, whatever it might be, Church of Christ, baptized to be saved, whatever it might be, you are bound. Jesus says, "Come to me, and I'll give you rest." But you got to admit you're weary and heavy laden. You got to admit why. Sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, will you come to Jesus in repentance? Remember, those who are going to hell didn't repent. Would you come to him in repentance? Only Jesus gives true rest. You can have it today. And then notice, he has a gracious offer, but he continues. And I believe this continuing portion applies to us and those who take him up in his offer. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." Two more commands. First of all, the first command, "Come to me." Second command, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." What's he talking about here? I believe he's talking about those who truly have faith in him and who are disciples, are becoming disciples in that context. You see, when you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a disciple. And he says, this first command, "Take my yoke upon you." And the yoke was simply a piece of wood that would be placed on an animal, attached to a wagon or plow or a mill, and be used to control the animal or animals. And for obvious reasons, being under someone's yoke spoke of submitting. Obviously, the animals are submitting under that yoke, right? And often a student would be speaking of being under the yoke of their teacher, that they're submitting to their teacher to learn. I believe that's exactly what he's saying here. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." He's going to talk about that yoke. He's going to talk about he's gentle and humble, and you're going to find rest for your souls. "My yoke is easy and my load is light." Let Jesus do it all and you're going to have rest. Let him teach you. Learn from him. brothers and sisters, if your Christian walk is hard, I'm not talking about the difficulties of suffering for Jesus and the exertion of energy serving. I know that. But if you are wearied down, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. You know, his commandments, 1 John 5, are not burdensome. We're abiding in him and trusting in him. Let him teach you. Let him teach you. Notice he says here, this is the only statement in the entire Bible where the Lord Jesus describes his own character. He describes himself. He says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart." What a great God. You're not going to get slapped around. He's gentle and humble in heart. Come to him. Learn from him. Brothers and sisters, learn from Jesus through his word. He's gentle and humble in heart. Learn from a humble, gentle God. And he says here, "And you shall find rest for yourselves." Learn from Jesus, you're going to have rest. He's going to give you salvation rest. And you're going to have rest in your salvation if you come to Jesus and you learn from him. You'll even find joy obeying him. You see, God provides everything we need in his son Jesus. And notice the explanation, verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my load is light." It is no trouble for Jesus to do anything. He's God. It's no trouble for him. And you see, when we're walking with him, trusting in him, his commandments are not burdensome. John 15, "Abide in me and I in you." Verse 4, "As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And again, I'm not saying we don't get tired. I'm not saying we don't get exhausted. What I'm saying is that when you're walking with Christ by faith, submitting to him, obeying and learning from him through the word, you're going to find rest for your soul, because Jesus doesn't call you to do anything he will not empower you to do when you rest in him. Therefore, his commandments are not burdensome. Friend, are you weary, burned out because of your sin, under a yoke you cannot bear? He says, "Come to me. Believe in him." Brother and sister, are you burdened lately? Have you taken it back up? Hand it over. Cast it upon him. So how can we find true rest? Heed the warning. Repent or you'll be judged. And understand it is God who saves those who will humble themselves like a child and believe what he says. And trust in him. And then come to Jesus.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, it would seem that a prerequisite to salvation is to humble yourself before the Lord. Why is that such a vital step that we must take?
You know, Dave, one of the reasons that we must humble ourselves before God is because God resists the proud. This means he is against those who are proud. So what we see in Scripture is that we are not to be proud, but humble. And when we come to the Lord for salvation, that means we need to allow God's word to convict us, that we would see who he is and who we are not. And it is only when we allow his word to convict us of sin to see ourselves rightly before him, humbling ourselves, and then seeing him rightly as the creator who came and took on human flesh and died for our sins. It's only when we understand our sinfulness before a holy God who died for us that we'll find ourselves then humbling ourselves before him, crying out for true salvation in Christ. Friend, if you've never been humbled before the Lord God, if you've never bowed your knee and repented of your sins, today is the day of salvation. Turn to the Lord Jesus, the one who died for your sins, and cry out to him for salvation. Acknowledge your sin, and he will save you from your sins. We have a gracious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is waiting for you to call upon him.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.